You're listening to WUVT-FM 90.7 Blacksburg. This is Toon Talk. We're talking about tunes. You want to do some music or do you want to air just a panel first?
Who cares?
Oh, music then. That was M83 with Midnight City. And this is Toon Talk. So our panel this week is, I don't know, a dude.
Holla.
Another dude.
Yep.
Some dude over in FM.
Hey.
And Paul Cornett, the original host of Toon Talk.
I'm back.
Oh my goodness.
One day only.
What is going on here?
I was doing some things for the past month. I'm not doing them anymore, so now I'm...
No! Oh no. Oh, I might have a breakdown. Okay.
All right, we'll get into that later when Marcus gets here.
We'll calm down. Oh, yeah. Right. Anyway, meanwhile, in other news, apparently that Metallica Little Reed thing is actually live on the internet.
It's out. It's open for streaming, and I've listened to all of it.
Why?
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
You lied.
Why, Michael?
I forgot that Mike likes noise.
I don't hate it. It's a thing. I'm not going to lie. I don't
what?
Hate it.
What?
Oh. The Lulu album?
Yeah.
Yes. I listened to a bit of it. It was like my grandfather was screaming at me. Like, it's just Lou Reed talking over, like, really bad metal riffs.
Yeah, oh, no. But... Actually, speaking of that, did you see the Grandpa Simpson version of it?
No, but I must.
Yeah, it's Grandpa Simpson just screaming over the riff.
Yeah, you're welcome, everybody.
Thank you, Chris Anna. Yeah, I mean, I really don't hate it. I listened to it. I mean, it's not great for any reason, but it's not... the worst album ever, like everyone's saying it is.
It absolutely is the worst album ever.
No.
I had pretty high hopes, because, I mean, like, Lou Reed, he's only done a few terrible things in his career. I thought this wasn't going to be one of them, but it was.
And actually, Lou Reed is one of the worst parts on it, I think, out of all of it. Lou Reed is just, it doesn't mesh well with it, but I don't know. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's just something that happens.
So let me ask.
Go ahead. All right, would you say that it does not live up to the hype Lou Reed gave it when he said, this is the best thing done by anybody ever, it might create a new planet?
Well, no.
See, statements like that make me think that Lou Reed was completely messing around during the entire process, and that it's a huge joke on his part against Metallica, because when he did Metal Machine Music, he said that he invented heavy metal. So what better thing to do than to... joke the hell out of a bunch of heavy metal guys by speaking over their riffs.
It seemed like more like a novelty album to me, sort of like when Buzz Aldrin did that song with Snoop Dogg. Like,
what?
You didn't hear this? Yeah,
no,
it just seemed like two opposite artists coming together just for the kicks. You know, like nobody expected it to actually be really good. That was my impression of this project from the start.
I mean, they were at the was it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame they performed together?
I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they were both inducted in the same year, some garbage like that.
Yeah, so that's melding together.
So let me ask Chris Winfield, WET FM music director, will you be adding this album?
No, never.
Will you be getting this album, maybe?
I doubt it.
If we do, put it in my box.
No. I'm going to destroy it on the spot. Because if I give it to you, there's a risk that you'll review it and put a sticker on it. Because somebody taught you how to do that. I don't know why. Write reviews, that is.
Holla.
If you put that in rotation, that had better be in New Music Low.
It's going to be in New Music Super Heavy.
No.
I'm going to go its own stand and everything for it.
No.
Say, play this or else, DJs.
Oh, here, I've got a question for the floor. So what is the deal with college radio rotation? Like, why do we do that?
I have been asked before, what level of rotation is that at? And... I don't know. I've just kind of found, different companies have priorities, and I don't really follow that garbage. I just put what I like in heavy and what I thought was okay in medium. But it's just a way of sorting the new music such that it's pretty much all opinion-based, but if you go to a real station, they'll have, like, heavy rotation, whatever. And by real station, I mean a commercial station.
Yeah.
Not that we aren't a real station. Not that we're not on the air right now.
Gosh.
I had somebody ask me that question about college radio rotation, and it's been kicking in my head for a couple of weeks now.
It's completely
really,
made up.
And I really kind of want to do some research on it now.
Just like college radio charts, college radio ads, college radio reviews,
college radio. Ah, good one.
College. So there's your deep thought for the day, your deep question, burning question. And here's something that's burning. Maroon 5. We don't care about Maroon 5, right?
I care about Fox News now, though.
Maroon 5, kiss from Maroon 5.
Yeah, Adam Levine of Maroon 5 asked Fox News to stop playing his music.
Hilarity ensues.
Fox News anchors asked him to stop making such bad music.
I don't think that part happened.
Hilarity more.
Oh, it did happen.
It did, actually.
Tweet. Did you not read the tweets? Always read the tweets.
There is a Twitter war going on between Adam Levine and Fox News.
Yes.
Do we care?
I'm just on the side of both.
Is it funny?
Fox News should stop airing anything, and Adam Levine should stop making music.
Pretty much.
Well, I know it happens a lot of times when, channels or commercials, they play songs they don't get permission for. The reason is they do a rough cut of the commercial, and they use a well-known song as just, like, placeholder music, and they mean to find, something they can license, but then they just forget about it, yeah. And then end up running the song they didn't get permission for because it sounds like what they wanted to. And so that's why sometimes with commercials they get like the sound alikes Like, there was that White Stripes sound like that was on the Super Bowl last year, and they sued him over it. So that stuff like that happens, but it's all just because they just forget about getting permission.
This doesn't seem to be, like, a matter of permission, though. It's just that he doesn't like it because he's super alternative and crap like
that. Yeah, I feel like Adam Levine does not own the licensing rights to his music.
He does not.
So it doesn't really matter what he says.
It's all very unfortunate. Where unfortunate equals funny.
Yeah.
Speaking of major labels, EMI is being sold and split into two.
That is sad.
It's like it's a publishing arm and a songwriting arm or something like that.
Correct. It's the bank is almost certain to split the asset in two with Katy Perry and other recording artists in one company and the publishing arm in the other. I like how Katy Perry was an example for all EMI artists ever.
That's even sadder.
Fun fact, if you call one of my promoters and you get a hold, you get Katy Perry songs because him and Dr. Luke, the guy that writes all those hits, work for the same company. And excellent. One half is songwriting, one half is college radio promotions. That's the end of that fact.
Wow.
The worst fact.
Anyways, does anyone care about EMI?
I care a little bit.
Doesn't EMI own some of the more large, cool indie labels? Like Mute, I want to say, is an EMI subsidiary.
There's a lot of EMI distribution that goes on. That we get a lot of packages from EMI because they do tons of indie label distribution. It's almost never from any good labels. But
well, can you really call it an indie label if it's run by EMI? Or is it just like a marketing name, indie nowadays? Because indie labels don't really exist anymore because they're all owned by one of the four big record companies. So does indie even actually exist?
No.
No.
That's what I thought.
I don't use that word.
He just used it like 8 times.
Yeah. You said indie like like just right now.
You can't prove that.
I can pull these air checks.
Not right now.
Wait, yeah, because we're doing the show.
Exactly.
So you can't pull the air checks while we're actually...
So you can't prove that.
The computer's right behind me.
Yeah, but it doesn't go up immediately.
Would you really interrupt Theater of the Mind to check whether or not Chris Winfield has said the word indie?
Anyway, speaking of Theater of the Mind, if you ever wanted to own John Lennon's tooth... You can now.
Now is your chance.
It is up for auction.
I mean, who wouldn't want John Lennon's tooth? Anybody who's sane.
I think it was a molar.
Oh, was it? Oh, man, that changes everything. Ready to pay $10,000 for John Lennon's molar.
No.
That just means it's not even as old as John Lennon was.
Uh-oh.
Well, I mean, it could be like Jurassic Park where they extract the DNA and we get a new John Lennon.
Oh, that's only if there's a mosquito buried in the tooth, though.
Ah.
Think about it.
Anyways, it's going for 10,000 pounds.
Oh, yeah, 10,000 pounds, not even dollars. That's like $15,000.
Now, I think this is a steal, you know, a piece of the greatest songwriter ever. Who wouldn't want that?
Why would you want that?
Why would you want a tooth?
Only a Beatles completist would want an actual piece of a Beatle.
If you're out there, Fred, and you may be.
I wasn't going to go out there. I was biting my tongue. Let's listen to some John Lennon music now, shall we? On Two Talk.
People say I'm crazy. From ruin. When I say that I'm okay, well, they look at me kind of strange. Surely you're not happy now, you no longer play the game. People say I'm lazy. Advice designed to enlighten me. When I tell them that I'm doing fine, watching shadows on the wall. Don't you miss the big time, boy? You're no longer on the ball. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels. Round and round, I really love to watch them.
I'm James Pickens, Jr. Unlike the emergency situations I face on television, those I may face as a horse owner can be very real. Losing my roping horse, Smokey, brought home the importance of twice-yearly wellness exams, which can help veterinarians detect, treat, and prevent health problems before they become serious. Your veterinarian is the best source for vaccination and other health and wellness recommendations. So don't wait for a real emergency. Schedule your horse's wellness exam today.
Brought to you by AQHA and your local veterinarians.
You're listening to Toon Talk on WAVT. So all of you that are into root vegetables, and I know one particular person that is, like, way into root vegetables in English, be really interested in this story. Snoop Dogg is obsessed with the world's largest turnip.
Not a turnip.
Wait,
rutabaga.
It's not a turnip?
Okay, I read this, It is a Swedish turnip. In the UK, they call it Swedish turnip, which is just what we call rutabaga.
What? It's a rutabaga?
Yeah, so it's a rutabaga.
Dude, I'm going to get so much mileage out of this story, you don't even know.
I don't know.
But, what?
Snoop Dogg...
Was it out loud? Anyway, go on.
Snoop Dogg got word that someone in... I think it was in Sweden... grew this, like, enormous
rutabaga. It was in the UK.
Rutabaga. Oh, he was in the...
He's Welsh.
In the UK. Okay, yes. So, anyway, he grew a rutabaga, and Snoop Dogg wants him to grow weed for him. It's huge.
He never said that specifically.
He said vegetables.
He said, teach me your secret so I can grow some vegetables, exactly.
He said that...
a real big vegetable.
On, like, in a Talking Heads, like, it was just, like, him on YouTube talking to this guy, and the background was weed. So,
well, that doesn't mean anything.
I guess not.
It's just Snoop Dogg's normal background. Yeah.
Snoop Dogg's wallpaper.
And in conclusion, the guy who grew this big rutabaga
got VIP treatment at the next Snoop Dogg concert.
Amazing.
Did you see? Are you looking at the picture right now?
Oh, yes.
Him and the guy. The guy's like, it's like 65 and has like a Hawaiian shirt and like.
Wait. That's not a Hawaiian shirt. That shirt has vegetables all over it.
Okay. I couldn't really see it. And he's just chatting with Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg's so happy right now. Snoop Dogg just loves those rutabagas.
Truly an amazing story about rutabagas. Like I said, so much mileage. I mean, get out of this story for weeks.
Are you secretly writing for, like, rutabaga journals?
Rutabaga fan fiction, actually.
Slash fiction.
No. In other news, MC Hammer has decided to get into the search engine business.
Duh.
Yeah, I mean...
What took so long?
MC Hammer is quite the entrepreneur now. He's opened an MMA managing business. It's actually quite successful. And,
what does that even mean?
Mike knows. Just trust it.
Don't worry. Okay. Like, he has, like, lots of good fighters on it. Don't worry.
Wow.
Whatever. And now he's trying to fight the Google power.
Where there's a niche, you gotta fill.
Exactly.
And
I think Kanye has a search engine too.
Does he?
Yeah, it's all caps though.
Oh.
Seriously though, he has one.
Oh, Kanye West search engine into Google.
No, you can't find it on Google, obviously.
Well, of course.
Kanye wouldn't. Want you finding out about his search engine.
I went to Kanye's search engine on Google. And I got one of those, like, the first option is one of those websites where you, like, earn rewards by shopping online and answering surveys.
Oh, boy.
Which is pretty strange.
I have a Wired article that says Krugel.
Okay.
What internets are you guys on?
Krugel. It says Krugel, Mike.
So anyway.
Oh, never mind.
MC Hammer announced at the Web 2.0 summit recently that he is launching a search engine called Wiredu.
Oh, I was reading Weirdo this entire time.
No, it's not.
You're gonna lie.
Quote, in Hammer's words, Wiredu sets itself apart from current search engine technology by going beyond the keywords for what he terms a deep search or relationship search, whatever that means.
How much do you think he had to actually do with the programming of this? Like,
he did it.
Yeah. He did it himself.
He built it from scratch.
I think it's like the George Foreman grill. We just slapped his name on it.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Do you think MC Hammer uses the MC Hammer search engine? Or does he just use Google too? Because I'm sure George Foreman doesn't use.
George Foreman actually loves his grills and uses them all the time.
How do you? Okay. Well, I don't believe that.
I see plenty of documentaries on George Foreman. Don't worry.
Okay. Let's move on to the most awesome news of the week. Stone Roses reunion. Wow. Who did that?
I snored.
Wow.
I've never actually listened to Stone Roses, but this sounds like a band that I've
only listened to the first album.
Yeah. Then stop.
Yeah. Chris, Anna, I don't believe you said that on the radio.
Well, you want to know what I think? Too many bands are getting back together nowadays. Can't anybody just stay broken up?
Nope.
No.
I mean, if it's like any band that's been popular over the last 30 years has gotten back together within like the last five. Like, what is going on with all these reunion tours?
I can think of one band right off the top of my head that is never getting back together, but I can't talk about it on the air.
New Order?
No. That would be it, so... Not really, but...
Josette and the Pussycats.
Yeah. Wow. But I'm pretty excited for this. Hopefully, if they go on a world tour, I think I may have to.
Yeah, actually, their plans are releasing a new album and then going on a world tour.
Yes.
But right now, for like the show,
yes.
They sold 222,000 tickets in 68 minutes for their two Manchester shows.
Yeah.
So, people are quite excited.
How could they sell that many tickets?
Because people like the Stone Roses.
They're huge in England. They're like the biggest thing there.
Besides the Spice Girls.
Okay, that's right about the Spice Girls. Did you know they were the biggest band of the 20th century?
Correct.
They may have been. I lived in England during Spice Mania, and I mean, yeah, you can walk down the street without hearing Wannabe or their other big hit. I don't know.
Goodness.
But yeah, they were huge. I've never seen anything as big as that.
Wow. Oh, I guess there's an Oasis ringing into our, but nobody cares about that.
Not going to happen.
I'm not seeing that.
Yeah, don't they hate each other, everybody in the band?
I believe Liam Gallagher said he'll do it if Noel Gallagher stops being such a jerk. So it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
so if they both stop being such a jerk.
I think Liam needs Noel a lot more than Noel needs Liam. Because Noel wrote all the good songs and Liam just sang them. And the thing is, Noel can sing too.
Yeah.
Like, what is he needing Liam for?
Because they're brothers. Brotherly love that doesn't exist.
Nah.
They hate each other.
Nah.
They would probably wish each other to be dead.
Who wants to talk about Elvis Costello and Elmo?
Well, Chris Winfield does.
I do, because I love Elvis Costello, and I love this video a lot. I don't know why, but it's...
Because you're a bad person.
It's pretty adorable, first of all. Second of all, Elmo's dressed like Elvis Costello.
They're playing a song together?
And they're playing a song together.
So is this better or worse than Metallica and Lou Reed?
This is better than everything, including Metallica and Lou Reed.
Oh, man, I did not notice the Elmo, because I've never watched this video before, because I'm sane. Now I just make that loud noise to show you the video. And yes, Elmo is dressed as Elvis Costello.
That's amazing.
And playing lead guitar on this track.
Apparently, because Elmo can play guitar.
I realize the radio listeners can't see what we're seeing, but
Elvis makes
Elvis
a lot.
Costello and Elmo dressed like Elvis Costello.
Elvis Costello makes a lot of really funny faces in this as well. He like says like there's like a crying part or whatever, and he makes some pretty weird faces.
There's
like
a Cookie Monster.
Yep. Aww.
Well, it's just Monster now, from what I understand.
Black and white Elvis and Elmo.
Is this a kid's song?
That's the Cookie Monster. What are you talking about?
Oh, it is.
Wait, what's the name of the song?
Monster Went and Ate My Red 2. It's a story about how, it's a compelling story about how Elvis Costello was trying to count to 10, but he got to 1 and he was smiling because counting so much fun. But then Monster went and ate his red too.
So basically what we're saying here is Elvis Costello can't count past one.
No.
He needs Elmo's help. See, in the end, Elmo brings him a red two, another one, and the Cookie Monster eats it again.
Wait, Elmo's red and the two's red.
Correct.
Where did Elmo get this two from?
This is the greatest video I've ever seen.
I know. And you're not even watching it with the sound.
Wow. I don't know if I can handle this. We need to listen to some Elvis Costello right now.
Yeah, we're stretching it really far right now.
Yep.
Listen to Toon Talk on WBT, where we're talking about tunes. Chris Guida has joined the panel.
Hey guys, hope this thing's on.
Sup?
Nope.
No?
No.
Probably not.
Are you sure?
I think my headphones are on. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear something.
I hear you talk inside the room.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Oh. I can hear you talk inside your soul.
I don't have a soul, Mike.
I know.
You should get out of this.
No, it's fine. You're it everything's
we're
good.
We're just joking. Okay. It's fine.
Can you turn my headphones up a little bit, Chris?
Stuff we should have done during the break.
Okay, so.
We were talking about tunes during the break. We got this all backwards.
A Steven Tyler biopic will be.
Thank you.
Being.
Biopic.
If it was biopic, it would be two words. End of story. I quit.
No.
I'm just messing at this point, but Ron Howard is producing a biopic about Aerosmith's Steven Tyler.
Not yet. It's like he bought the rights to it, to Steven Tyler's biography.
So it's going to win a ton of Oscars, right? Is James Franco going to star in it?
It depends on who, no.
No?
It's going to be Liv Tyler.
Oh.
She looks enough like
her
dad.
Well, that's unfortunate.
I mean, who else would play Steven Tyler besides Liv Tyler?
You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I don't really care about this.
What?
I don't think anyone should care about this.
Yeah, doesn't care.
Steven Tyler's life was like, and it doesn't really sound, I don't care about Aerosmith, so I don't really care either.
Paul?
My roommate in college, he was the world's biggest Aerosmith fan, had posters of Steven Tyler all over his room, and our old buddy Jeff Crayley, he stayed with me one summer in that room, and
so he would wake up to
Steven Tyler, like, right over his head.
Oh, man.
But with this movie, I hope they include the fact that, like, Steven Tyler is somewhat of a kid toucher. When he was 30
what?
Years...
What? What?
Okay, here we go.
That sounds like something I would claim.
When he was 30 years old, his girlfriend was 14.
Oh.
And they dated for, like, years. I mean...
Wait, what?
What?
You did not know this? Yeah.
Like,
no.
He was a grown man dating, like, a ninth grader.
That's illegal.
I don't know.
Wait a minute.
I do know. Illegal.
My girlfriend's a fetus. Is that still illegal?
Yes.
Okay.
What?
They gotta put this in the movie.
Chris Guida had to go there.
Weird.
Little Jerry Lee Lewis action going on there.
Well, wasn't he married to, like, his cousin?
I feel, yes.
Probably.
Now. Why don't we just move on to black metal and feminism? Chris Guida, our black metal feminist.
Wait, whoa. That's during the black metal session coming later.
Oh, wait. Are we moving it?
You can't move the black metal.
No, you moved
section.
It on me.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Dude. Oh.
Okay, next topic.
Show
Christopher Owens of Girls.
Well, we're going to skip this.
We're going to skip this?
Yep.
Dude.
Nope. We're talking about Lana Del Rey again.
I always put in Lana Del Rey in the topics list. And I never want to talk about it, though. I'm always
the
kidding.
The show is falling apart.
Too bad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Chris, open up.
I broke your show.
Basically, Girls frontman Christopher Owens got into a little fight over the Twitters, saying that Jules Holland is a jerk for having Lana Del Rey on his show, but not Girls.
And this is relevant to everyone's existence. Why, exactly?
Because two indie stars are fighting, and it's hilarious.
Yep. This is the gossip time.
Gossip.
Gossip? But
anyway.
I wanted to talk about black metal and feminism.
Well, we're not there yet.
Okay, I'll wait.
That's why you read your topics. Gosh.
Dude, this is going to keep the listeners on the edge of their seats.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're doing a good job today.
Yeah.
Speaking of fights that don't matter, Justin Vernon of Bon Iver, put in a top 5 hip-hop lyrics list into what?
Rolling Stone.
Okay, so
when I read that headline, I was like, this is like being carefully constructed to make me never want to read this. Because I don't care about Bon Iver, and I like hip-hop, but I don't care at all what Bon Iver thinks about hip-hop.
Well, somebody kind of cares. Like Questlove.
Yeah.
Because he apparently was asked to do the same article, and then he wrote this very, very long, very long detailed list about, like, whole verses and stuff, and then Justin Vernon's is just 5 lines.
And one of them features his own song.
Yep. His own singing, if you can call it that.
Some people like to call it that, but they're wrong.
So why didn't they post their original lists to their blogs? Because nobody blogs anymore?
They did that.
They did, yes.
Questlove, Questo was pissed, or was mad, because his got cut from the print edition of Rolling Stone, and they ran Bon Iver's, so...
Wait, there's a print edition of Rolling Stone?
I understand that this is true.
As far as I can tell, I haven't been to anywhere that sells such things in a while, but there is a print issue.
I got it in the mail for 6 months, I guess on some kind of freak accident, and it wasn't any good.
Why did you try to read it?
Wow.
Whenever a magazine gets sent to me, it goes into the magazine pile.
And that's the recycle bin, right?
It's the fire bin.
Oh, fire.
Just one question. Fire. Did Rolling Stone report on this? Because that would be
exciting. I don't care.
Me neither.
No.
No?
Not.
Okay.
Speaking of things that I don't care about, the number one album in the country is...
Evanescence.
Okay. did...
Okay, so the topic, someone wrote, like, hey, remember Evanescence? I have never forgotten about Evanescence because for a year plus I lived with a guy whose favorite band was Evanescence.
Is that Nick Lutz?
No. No, it's not a radio guy. But so Evanescence has never really dropped off of my radar, unfortunately.
Wow.
It should have, yeah. Basically, it's just kind of really sad, though, because it's number one with 127,000 albums sold, which is, like, nothing. Like, I remember...
Well, remember when The National was number one with, like, 24,000 or something?
Well,
it was something really depressing.
It's always, like, 120,000 about.
Nowadays it is, not before.
Well, yeah, albums always drop. And I don't think this chart counts digital sales as a thing.
I don't know.
Does this mean I'm going to be hearing Evanescence songs at karaoke again?
Who would sing Evanescence at karaoke?
The people.
I'm going on
karaoke on Wednesday nights near where I live.
Oh.
They sing Evanescence.
Well, they kind of suck.
I wasn't going to say that.
Don't worry, I said it for you.
Great, Michael.
I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I'm just so far removed from, like, the top of the music charts nowadays. Like, you guys were talking about Katy Perry earlier.
Yeah.
I honestly could not name one of her songs or anybody that's been popular the last couple of years because in the age of iPods and, like, WooVit and Pandora and whatnot, I don't listen to anything I don't want to listen to. And
yeah.
I avoid celebrity gossip like rape. I mean, so, like, I know they're popular and everything, but anybody that's big over the last couple of years, I don't know anything about.
I actually know one Katy Perry song. It's California Girls. And that's because
they're undeniable. That's why.
Well, also her manager made her change the spelling from girls to G-U-R-L-S as homage to Big Star September Girls.
That's right.
What?
Yeah, they made that up.
No, they didn't. That actually happened.
I thought it was spelled with a Z.
They made
Z
up the
too.
Story, though, about how that happened. I'm sure it originally was girls spelled correctly, but...
No. That happens.
Okay.
Why don't we listen to some music instead of talking about Katy Perry?
Thank
you.
Sure.
Chris? Anyone?
Through it again, I wouldn't break the pain. The Carpet King will carpet your entire house for only $39. That's right, your entire house for only $39. But don't expect Charles the Carpet King to do it himself, because Charles the Carpet King passed away last week at 47 from the same disease that got his father, so he won't be around for his family. And sadly, it could have been detected early with a simple test, but Charles didn't get it.
Have you gotten the medical test you need? For a list of tests every man should have, go to AHRQ.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Toon Talk, where Michael is doing something with the microphone in his glasses.
Yep.
Yeah. So are we? Can we talk about black male feminism yet?
Nope. Okay. First up, what you just heard was Loved Up. And speaking of Loved Up, Loved Up's Damian Abraham, or Pink Eyes, did quite an interesting interview with Keith Morris of Black Flag, Circle Jerks, and Off Fame.
I really liked whoever put this up for everyone to look at, because they said ugly guy interviews other ugly guy, and it was funny, and that's exactly correct.
And so they're role models for you, apparently?
Excuse me? Ooh. Excuse me?
Actually,
I'm beautiful.
When I had my hair very short, Mr. Alex Simon compared me to Damian Abraham almost every time he saw me.
Wow.
So, one of my personal idols.
I can see that.
I can too.
I'm seeing that right now.
It is true. This is actually a pretty cool article interview that talks almost all about like Keith Morris's career and how, and I think it's really interesting. That's why I put it there, and apparently no one wants to talk about it.
I like the last question where Damon asks, what are your thoughts on the other Black Flag singers? Because Keith Morris is really only in Black Flag for like a few months.
Yeah.
Basically. And he says, Ron is better than Dez, who's better than Henry, who is better than me, but I'm better than Ron, who isn't as good as Henry, but is better than Dez, who's not as good as I was, but I certainly was better than Ron, who wasn't as good as Henry, who was better than I was, etc., etc., etc. I like that he never directly says that he is better than Henry.
But he was thinking it very hardly.
But he says Henry was better than him.
But I feel like at another point he also said indirectly that he was better. I didn't read that, so I'm not gonna comment on it.
Wow.
So
black metal feminism?
Let's just skip that. If nobody wants to talk about it.
Chris Rita, take it away.
Alright, this article.
Keep it appropriate.
Okay. No, don't worry. I've been practicing this. It's about a woman who's a feminist and she likes black metal. And I didn't like the article. Josette, what are your thoughts? I need some more gasoline for this fire here. I can't just go nuts here.
I think the problem I had trying to dive in this article, and it was written by a woman from the UK as a black metal aficionado, is that I don't really understand what black metal is.
Well,
and so I had to go educate myself about that and then come back to...
Well, what did you... Inform the listeners, what did you come out learning about black metal?
Spikes.
Spikes?
Spikes.
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 Well...
Lots of spikes.
Yes.
Spike Jones.
Spikes.
Lots of spikes.
Spike Lee.
Well, the thing about what really caught me off is that she talks about National Socialist black metal a lot, which is not important at all to the genre. It's a very, very fringe genre, sub-genre of black metal, and it has no importance at all on any of the major bands. And the other thing is, like, she talks about how, like, she only exclusively listens to black metal. Like, she's not into brutal death metal or technical death metal or thrash or doom or grind or anything like that. So I feel like her understanding of metal is minimal at best, and I think there's also some deeper underlying problems with this woman. She talks about how she comes from the upper class. Like, she's never had to deal with any real problems in her life, and I believe that she just never got that pony, and she's just still venting that through her love for black metal.
Wow.
Has anybody else see that she's just one of these girls that just didn't get that pony, and she's just trying
I'm going to say right now, I've never thought pony and black metal in the same sentence
whole life. See, it's like because of the lack of pony that she's screwed up like this. I feel like black metal is... I mean, there's definitely some girls that are into metal, like legitimate, and I feel like she is not one of them. And...
I also wasn't aware that there were accessible and inaccessible black metal bands. Like, the thing about the T-shirts where she would wear a T-shirt one band, but she would never wear a T-shirt.
See, this is another one of these, because, this is, you know, another, people heard of it. Another piece of evidence for the pony case is because shirts don't matter. The shirt at a metal show doesn't matter at all. Like, who cares? Like, if someone comes up to you and says, oh, that band sucks, and it's just like...
Well, Frida, you told me a story about how you were in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And you saw some guy wearing a metal shirt. You gave him the head nod.
Yeah.
And he just looked at you like you were strange. So maybe shirts do matter.
Hmm.
Well, no. See, I was saying that guy was cool. And that guy just kind of looked at me like...
So you're saying that you can only ever positively reinforce a shirt choice.
And if you're bad about someone's shirt, it's like, dude, who cares?
Isn't there also something about, like, how hard the name of the band is to read that has to do with how hard, like, how loud the music is?
Paul, you are 100% correct.
I've read this.
And that's my... off topic, but that's my strongest criticism against the new Toxic Holocaust album, is that they changed the logo and it's totally legible. As opposed to the old one, which was completely illegible and then featured two inverted crosses.
Have you seen the Pair of Anguish sticker that's on the studio door back there? That's okay.
That one's pretty good.
It's only, I was able to read it, but I wasn't able to, like, understand it because I thought, who would name a band the Pair of Anguish?
Well, it's a torture instrument.
Okay, well, I assumed it was just like a fruit.
No. It was like a spike torture instrument that would be forcibly inserted into various parts of people.
All right. Well, okay. Now that makes a lot more sense. Yeah. I thought they were just like, that pair is so... Eat that pear.
Feel its anguish.
Grim.
I'm glad that I read this article because now I want to learn more about metal subgenres, and I really haven't wanted to do that.
There was a website
edumacating myself
recommended to me by some dude who used to sit in with Brandon and Evan's show, the Fridays 9 to midnight. And he was asking me about metal, and he was like, oh, have you known about this website? And I'm like, no. And I checked it out. I can't remember what it was. But
was it good or bad?
It was actually really good. Like, it did describe, like, the first wave black metal being different from second wave black metal. Of course, first wave black metal, bands like Venom, Bathory.
Obviously.
Early Sodom, which is really just satanic, raw satanic thrash versus Mayhem and Burzum and Marduk in the late 80s, early 90s.
I listened to Scorpions over the weekend.
Wow,
so.
Okay. That's enough.
great German metal band right there.
At the Toon Talk postgame. But let's move on to the heavy metal depression story.
Yes, as seen by Christopher Guida, young heavy metal listeners are more likely to suffer from depression, a new study from the University of Melbourne has found.
Yeah, I mean, I had read another article or some journal article a while ago about people listening to metal have more tendencies for a mental illness, so this doesn't really surprise me too much.
It sounds like a local news report, like... The music your kids are listening to, what does it affect their mood?
Yeah,
more at 11.
That's a really good point because this is Melbourne, Australia, right?
Yes. We're talking.
Okay. Nice news tease, Paul, by the way.
Okay. Well, the thing about Australia is they had a lot of censorship laws, and a lot of those guys missed out on a lot of death metal and a lot of black metal. I think the only real exception is a Sadistic Execution. Yeah, they were pretty sweet, but they weren't really heavily satanic. But now they got they've kind of undone a lot of these censorship laws, and you got bands like Destroyer 666 and some pretty ripping black metal down there.
How about AC/DC? They're from Australia, right?
I mean, AC/DC's influence in metal is pretty big. I mean, Alex Webster, the bass player for Cannibal Corpse, was listening to AC/DC when he was young, and he was like, there's no way I'll be able to play guitar as fast as Angus. I should just learn how to play bass. Yeah, true story.
So basically, this article is really awful. And they talk about, most people listen to music to feel good about themselves and, to listen to music that puts them in a happy mood. And kids listen to metal don't do that, and so that they're listening to music wrong. And
I have a question.
It's just lol forever.
Question, what does it mean when I listen to Drone then?
You love refrigerators.
It means you don't even care about nothing, and you don't want to feel good or bad.
I love
facts.
If you actually go to the university's press release, it's a little bit better, but it's still kind of a bad press release as far as Psychology Journal press releases go.
But it has the number 666 in the URL.
That is correct. Apparently, they number their press releases for the URL, and this one is number 666.
Is it an accident?
No, it's... Yeah, it's probably definitely just...
It can't be.
Incidentally.
No.
You can go back to 665, and it's something that nobody cares about, especially not Toon Talk.
What's 420?
let me check while I talk about this. But yeah, this is only a little bit better. But the thing is, the thing that's flawed about this journal article is that it doesn't make a connection between... deep sounds or whatever that are more common in metal.
Yeah.
Then, okay, never mind. It's definitely not an accident the way they number these URLs. but there's no reason for us to believe that loud sounds make us upset. Well, I mean, there is reason for that, but as far as loud music goes or... deep sounds you might hear in metal, more of the chugga chugga rhythms. This is from a very limited amount of metal knowledge.
Chugga jigga wugga, I think, is the accepted.
And I'm pretty sure that they only I'm pretty sure they only do three at a time.
Yeah.
Usually, there's no reason for us to believe that. I mean, really high sounds are pretty annoying too.
Yeah. But I would say, as far as music affecting your mood, I think the only thing that really affects you is the stuff you can't hear, the really low, around 18 hertz or 21 hertz, I think, infrasound.
Yeah, stuff you can't even hear.
Yeah, it'll just cause, vibrations in your brain and have all kinds of unforeseen consequences on you.
Isn't there a dubstep subgenre that uses that?
Probably, because dubstep...
A lot of dubstep uses bass sounds you can hear, but aren't on, an 88-key piano, basically. What are you shaking your head for?
Because I don't care.
Do you know?
Because I don't care.
Well, speaking of things that Mike doesn't care about, Swedish death metal legends...
We've got something else to talk about first.
What?
No, I believe someone...
Whoa!
I believe
let's talk about this number real fast, and then we can talk about Paul.
Okay.
No, let's hear Paul's first, because I want to end
Never
with
mind.
This
we retooled the show again.
Waiting for Marcus to get here, but he's having, some... issues with his body odor. He's a little self-conscious, so...
Nothing new.
So I'll just tell it without him. I left for L.A. about a month ago, and, I drove out there for a week, and I got there, and I don't know if you guys have ever been to L.A., but it is one of the worst places I've ever been.
No,
Whoa.
And keep in mind, I've been to both Cleveland and Detroit.
Whoa.
And,
Yeah, so I just did not care for L.A. I didn't like the job I was doing. Didn't really want to work in that industry. And
What was the
what
job
industry
again?
Was it?
Yeah.
I was working in a post-production place that works on movies. They did audio for movies, which sounds like something I really like to do.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
But no, did not care for it. Did
can
not
you tell
care
us what
for
movies
it whatsoever.
You've been involved with?
Well, the company I was working for, they did like mid to low budget movies. Like some of the big ones they worked on, like Memento.
Oh, okay.
Some Albert Brooks movies. They worked on a lot of good, like actual good stuff.
Did you see any of the new Transformers?
No, unfortunately.
Get out.
Did you ever get a chance to go sightseeing out there?
A little bit. I saw the La Brea tar pits, which
nice.
You could, you know, nothing special. It's just a pit full of oil,
yeah,
you know.
Tar.
And so that was pretty bad. I went up in the hills, but L.A., it's big, it's ugly, it's dirty, it smells bad.
Just
set the Hollywood sign on fire.
The people are jerks. Well, those hills, they catch fire every year. And so Jeff and I, we're going to do another episode of the show of our podcast.
Low Interest Radio.
And I'll get in depth on it there, but L.A. just was not for me. And so I feel like I've spent the last month in my car, like living out of my car, because
you're driving around L.A. all
Yeah, I was driving in my car for like 4 hours a day, like around L.A. traffic, and then plus like an hour like to and from work. So
is the traffic worse than Northern Virginia traffic?
Absolutely, yes.
Wow.
Yes, traffic's terrible there.
Wow.
And plus, like driving across country, it's like five days each way. I lived out of my car, and there's no shame in like using water bottles as a bathroom, because I mean I got to make good time here.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do? Stop every 2 hours? No way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll get into this on the podcast. We'll probably have that up in about a week. But
wow.
L.A. was terrible. Don't go.
So now you're moving back into your parents' basement.
No, I'm not.
No?
No.
Jeff's basement?
Nailed it. I was saving the news for later, but no, not that either.
Don't give it away. Give us some suspense.
Okay, yeah. Like, listen for the show. I mean,
where can we listen to the show?
You can find it on iTunes at Low Interest Radio. I think we also have a blog spot as well, but iTunes, Low Interest Radio. I think we have like 5 or 6 episodes up, and it's hit and miss. But when it's good, it's decent, and when it's bad, it's terrible. So
I'm trying to get that lost episode out of Paul, it's not working.
Yeah. So yeah, L.A. wasn't for me, and I'm just gonna keep on looking.
Okay.
Because I'd rather like do something in a place I like than do something I hate in a place I don't like at all.
Truth.
Yeah. You lived in L.A. Did you like it?
I liked it, but I ran out of money.
Ooh.
Yeah, L.A.'s the worst.
Disagree, but it's okay.
So
Paul will find his way in the world.
I will. I mean, whatever I got to do. So I've been back in Blacksburg, and it's felt weird being back here.
Wow.
I bet.
Like, this town just isn't for me anymore. I've grown out of it, and not that I've grown out of it, but I like walk around, and everybody, they just look so young.
You get used to that feeling.
I'm too old for him now, yeah.
We're going to wrap it up with Dismember breaking up. This is pretty sad.
To Paul breaking up with Blacksburg?
Yeah. That would have been a good transition. Thank you, Justin. So after 23 years, Swedish death metal legends Dismember are calling it quits. They didn't really say why, which is kind of a bummer. I mean, when the Skinless broke up in March, they said that, you know, they just weren't feeling the death metal anymore. But, yeah, it was kind of a drag, but we have 7 of their studio albums here at the station, and I played an hour and a half of them last Friday night.
Wow.
I would have done more, but, you know, there's rules against playing too much of stuff from an album.
Rules.
Yeah, and this time I followed that rule.
Yeah.
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 Thank you.
But we can play some Dismember right now. Okay?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Have you got some Dismember, Ian?
Yeah, we do. Listen
Thank
to
you.
Show
this is off of The God That Never Was song is Where No Ghost Is Holy.
Thanks for listening to Toon Talk. We'll see you next week.